part of that intent is evidenced by his views that taxation is improper, illegal, and to the extent he believes the government is evil and that he is not...
Mr.
No, wait.
I object.
I know. Wait.
And to the extent he believes he's not subject to the laws of the United States of America, that would certainly have some relevancy as to his intent and the actions of placing the property in the trust and whether he concealed...
Well, Mr. Newman, I understand the general sense of the argument, but as the court that's going to be the ultimate fact finder, it seems to me that as Mr. Hart said a moment ago, actions speak louder than words. We've got an entire district court case. We've got three bankruptcy cases. We've got 400 exhibits, give or take. And apparently we've got a book, which if it's going to be evaluated, I'm going to evaluate it. I'm not going to listen simply to the testimony of four extracted passages. And I am having a very hard time understanding why we need to drill on the issue of his core beliefs as expressed in a given passage or not in order to reach the issue that you're talking about.
Let me rephrase this. Let's say, for example, the creditor at issue here wasn't the IRS, but rather somebody he'd had a long-term relationship with, very acrimonious relationship. That acrimony would be relevant to the intent to hinder, delay, or defraud.
I just told you I understand that the sense of it, but if you want me to evaluate Mr. Hart's feelings about the IRS or the State Tax Commission based upon the book, then I'm going to have to evaluate the book and not belabor comments concerning the extraction of the passages that you've just read, Mr. Stevens.
And, you know, the other part of that is that there has to have been this transfer within a year with the intent to hinder...
I've ruled on that five times this afternoon, Mr. Stevens.
Okay, and again, you're evaluating some of this evidence that's coming in from Mr. Newman's perspective that there was this intent to conceal. And again, this book and what this book says doesn't have anything to do with intent to conceal from 1997 forward. And so... He's making an argument, Your Honor, that these things happened in 1997 with an intent to delay or hinder a creditor, but he's leaving out the portion that it has to have happened within a year of filing his bankruptcy.
I've already ruled on the within a year of filing issue, and I told you how I was going to address that. The idea here that the book may be relevant to his view is nothing more than matchsticks that get put on a pile for me to try to determine credibility, weight, and motive. That's it. And frankly, I find it to be tangential at this point without having read all of the book, which I may or may not end up having to do in this case. Mr. Newman, I'm going to sustain the objection because I think we've gone too far afield in regarding passage by passage. Are you going to offer the book as support of the idea that the conduct regarding the trust was the tax avoidance or thesis of the book?
Tax avoidance, yes, and the thesis of the book, which, yes, Your Honor.
It's offered. Go ahead.
I would be objecting to that, Your Honor, because this book was written according to the front of this. It was written in 2001. And Mr. Hart expressed his views throughout court cases, tax court, and all the way up to the Supreme Court, and that was finished in 2003. In 2003, from there on, he has dealt with the IRS forthrightly, and later on, when Mr. Hart testifies, he will find out that the IRS has not dealt with him forthrightly. It disallowed all his deductions for his business because he wouldn't reveal who he sold this book to. So this is, excuse the term, I think this is a political witch hunt because he wrote a book they disagreed with.
And Your Honor, I'll just respond, no political witch hunt, just trying to get to the intent and the motive.
The issue here ultimately is going to come down to a